Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Now you'll notice in this particular passage of Scripture, Paul keeps talking about one whatever, one body or one spirit or whatever. So keep in mind, as you read this text, that there's just one. There is just one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, if you'll remember, at the end of last week, we dealt with the first three verses of chapter 4. And in verse 3, Paul was talking about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, the unity of the Spirit. Now, to have the unity of the Spirit would indicate that unity is the word like uno, like one. And to have unity, then, everybody is like-minded, same-minded, one body, in together, all in agreement. So the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace from verse 3 is maintained when everybody is in agreement about the things in verses 4, 5, and 6. The trouble is, God says there's just one, but men have come up with many more. So there are all kinds of discord in people who claim to be Christians or people who claim to be believers. Now look, in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, there's just one. There's just one body. He said here in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. Now that body is Christ, not a bunch of little bodies down here. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 12. Now this is what the Bible says. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now there are a lot of people today that believe that there's more than one body. One man says that his local church is the body. And certainly that is a body of believers. But when it speaks here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body, that means one, not a bunch of little ones called one. In other words, when a man says that his local church is the body of Christ, then that means everything else outside of that local church is excluded from the body of Christ, if you take what he says literally. All right, there's another man that says the universal invisible church is the body of Christ. And the strange thing about that is that the body of Christ is something physical with eyes and ears and nose and hands and feet. As a matter of fact, the body of Christ rose from the dead and physically walked on this earth and appeared to above 500 witnesses and then went up into heaven at the ascension and is seated at the right hand of God Almighty. It can't be invisible because you can see it. If you could be in heaven, Paul saw it. Now the thing about it is that when you get saved according to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 30, you become a member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So it can't be a local church, although local churches are certainly ordained by God and mention more than his physical body into which you're baptized by the Holy Spirit when you get saved. You can't make the local church the body because there's too many of them. And you can't make it invisible because you can see it. Thomas touched that body. And when you get saved, you are baptized into that body. It is a physical body. Everybody who's ever been saved is in it. But from Paul and all those back then, even to us today. All right. There's another man that says the body of Christ is the literal body of Christ. Well, that's where I am. That's, I believe, where the Bible is. Because he says you're baptized into that body and made a member of his flesh and of his bones. It's literal. It's seated at the right hand of God Almighty. And you'll find yourself waking up in that body the moment that you drop this robe of flesh at your death or at the rapture when your body is changed. Another man says the body of Christ is a wafer. He'll hold it up on Sunday and he'll say, this is the body of Christ, and he'll hold that wafer up there and tell people to eat it, and that they're eating the body of Christ literally when they take that communion. That's going to be tough. I realize that at the Last Supper, and when the Jesus Christ talked in John chapter 6, he talked about eating his body. But then in John chapter 6, he goes on to explain to you in verse 63 that the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit, and they are life. You're only profited by the things of the spirit, not by something you put in your mouth and digest and then present to the sewage system of your local city water. You understand? That's kind of, you talk about blasphemous. Now listen, all these different opinions cannot be right. So when one man says his local church is, he's at discord with me because I believe what the Bible says about being literally baptized into that body by the Holy Spirit. If he says it's universal and invisible, then the guy who believes it's the local church and the guy who believes it's literal can't agree with that guy, so there's discord. The guy who says that it's the literal body of Christ you're baptized into by the Holy Spirit, then he's going to have discord with the guy who says the local church only is the body of Christ, or to the guy that says it's the wafer. So you see, how are you going to have the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace with just those four different opinions, and there are more? How are you going to have that? Well, truthfully, the Bible is the authority in all matters, and everybody can go to the Bible and prove that their side is right. And the problem is they can't all be right, and yet they're all using the Bible to prove that they're right. And when you get to heaven and you get to talk it over with Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that only one of those could be right. If he's the wafer, then he can't be the body of believers. If he's the local church, then he can't be the literal body of Christ seated at the right hand of God. If he's invisible, he can't be the literal body of seated at the right hand of God. If he is the literal body seated at the right hand of God, then all the other three guys are wrong. Well, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to have discord, and you're not going to have the bond of peace, and you're not going to have the unity of the Spirit. The trick is for everybody to quit worrying about trying to prove that their side was right. I had a guy tell me one time, I showed up for a revival meeting, sitting next to this guy. He says, "You can't prove to me." Hey, man, I didn't even say, we didn't even start in there. You can't prove to me. I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. The Bible says what it says, and only one of those things can be right. And God said, there is one body, just one. So the way to have unity of the Spirit is to find which one it is and then get together with that group of people who believe that's what it is, and then you can have the bond of peace and the unity of the Spirit and serve each other with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and love and forbearance. See the problem? See the problem? When God said there's only one, that excludes all the other ones. Ooh, God, people don't like that. They don't want to be excluded. They want to prove they're right. You know how that goes. Prove they're right. There's no sense in us trying to prove anybody's right, not trying to prove anything. The thing is to submit ourselves to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, find out what is right, and then go with that. That's the hard part, because many times that's going to run contrary to what you and I have been trained to believe. And that's just hard to do, because that means you're going to be on outs with your former preacher. You're going to be on outs with your family many times. You're going to be on outs with some folks that believe the same way. Well, I tell you what, it's tough. That's why Jesus said, "Think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. I've not come to send peace, but a sword. The enemies of man's foes shall be they of his own household." You can understand why with something like this. God is very dogmatic. He says there's one, that's it. He says not only is there one body, but there's one spirit in verse 4. Only one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 shows you a lot about that spirit. But look at verses 3 and 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." The same Spirit. Now I'm telling you what the problem is with that, because truthfully there are many spirits. For instance, the devil is a spirit. There are unclean spirits. There was a guy that was possessed with 1,000 of them in the New Testament. Mark chapter 5, he had a buddy that was possessed with 1,000 of them. All right, so if you got all those spirits running around here, then there's not just one. But if you're going to have unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, the only one this could be is the Holy Spirit. But here's the problem. discerning the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3 gives you some clue. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. It's interesting how many people say Jesus is Lord. A lot of people say that. They've got banners in their churches that say Jesus is Lord. But it's funny how they leave out the confession of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't say Jesus is Lord, although that shows up in Philippians chapter 2. That's the confession even of a devil. To say Jesus is Lord, the devil's going to do that. Things under the earth are going to bow the knee to Jesus Christ and say Jesus Christ is Lord. But to say that Jesus is the Lord, now that takes the Holy Ghost. So a lot of people professing to be doing what they're doing by the Holy Ghost and saying what they're saying by the Holy Ghost aren't necessarily doing what they do and saying what they say by the Holy Ghost. It could be an unclean spirit. It could be an unclean spirit. Look in Acts chapter 16. I'll give you a great example here. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, now look at this carefully. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Now you know what that is. Back in the Old Testament, it says if you got somebody with a familiar spirit or consulting with wizards or a necromancer or whatever, you'd kill them. All right, well in the New Testament, things are under grace. Things are a little bit differently handled here. But notice nonetheless, she is possessed and she has a spirit of divination. Metis, which brought her masters much gain with soothsaying, prophecy. The same followed Paul and us, cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. That's true. Which show unto us the way of salvation. That's true. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now here you are dealing with a woman that's walking around professing that, number one, these men are servants of the Most High God, and number two, they show unto us the way of salvation. Well, you'd think that kind of advertising would certainly have to be done by the Holy Spirit of God. It wasn't. It was done by a damsel that was possessed with a spirit of divination, and Paul cast that spirit out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. So without any spiritual discernment whatsoever, it's easy for people to say, oh, that's the great work of the Holy Spirit, when in fact it's not the work of the Holy Spirit at all. There's going to be a group of people that are going to stand up in front of God Almighty at a judgment, according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, and they are going to profess to him the great things they did in his name. All right, for instance, it says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Prophecy. Oh, there's a lot of that going on today. In churches, professed to be done by the Holy Spirit. So just because a person prophesies doesn't mean that he's doing it by the Holy Spirit at all. Here, these guys are doing it in the Lord's name. And in thy name have cast out devils. Well, there are many of those that are doing that today in their healing services. And thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the name of Christ today in churches that name the name of Christ today in the way of prophecy and casting out devils and wonderful works. And God said, I never knew you. Those people aren't saved. Many of them are not saved. You say, well, we're trying to have the unity of the Spirit and walk in the bond of peace. Impossible. With somebody who's not saved and yet who is doing those things in the name of Jesus Christ and professing that they're doing that by the Holy Spirit. They're not. Many of them. Some of them are. But many of them are not. They're doing it. The great multitude are doing it by the work of the devil, by an unclean spirit. I know you don't believe that. You say, I've seen it with my own eyes. They saw it with their own eyes in Paul's day. They saw it with their own eyes in Christ's day. So what if you don't believe what God said? You'd rather trust your experience than the Word of God? Is that what you're saying? That's very unhealthy, to trust your experience over the Word of God. You say, preacher, you're coming on strong. Listen, man, to shake you loose or somebody else loose from the deception of an unclean spirit, a man would have to come on strong. That's what they accused Jesus and Paul of. That's why they got upset with him. And I'm sure right now that in your heart you're upset. This is bothering you to hear this. I'm not trying to bother you. I'm not trying to upset you. I'm not trying to offend you at all. That's not my goal. That's not my objective. My objective is to get you to turn to the Word of God and realize that much of what is being done in the name of Christ today is not being done by Christ and is not being done by the Holy Spirit. It's being done by devils. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 shows you that before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, There are those whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And many people choose to believe that lie. That's not the Holy Spirit. So how are you going to have the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace with somebody that doesn't understand there's one body and have the right one of those, or one Spirit and have the right one of those? Yield to the Holy Spirit, read the Word of God, ask for wisdom and spiritual discernment, and then, bless God, see what He shows you. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. There's one hope of your calling. Now, that's not too tough. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 24 and 25, he shows us what the hope of that calling is. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What are they waiting for in verse 23? The adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Like Titus says, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes back, you're going to get a glorified body. That's your hope. You're going to be perfect. You're going to look just like Christ. You'll never have another war in this flesh again. We'll be forever with Him. That's your hope. That's my hope. That's the blessed hope, is the appearance of Jesus Christ. But let me ask you something. How are you going to walk together in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace with a fella who doesn't have the assurance of his salvation, and he thinks his hope of his calling is that he hopes he's saved? I've met with more people that are like that than people who have assurance of salvation. I knock on the door and visit with a fella, and I said, are you saved? He said, I hope so. If you die tonight, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? I hope so. I didn't ask you if you hope so. I asked you if you were 100% sure. You either are or you're not. I hope so. Listen, you're going to have a hard time having unity of the Spirit with a person who believes that he has to hope for his salvation when he dies, when God said you have it now. He that hath the Son hath life. All right, so there's one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, verse 5 says. One Lord. Well, I know who He is, don't you? I know who He is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but make himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You know who we're talking about, don't you? Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father, including the devil. We'll make him bow down and worship him. Like we showed you, Jesus Christ is the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. That's the confession of the Holy Spirit. He is the only one. Now, that's one word Judas Iscariot would never use in addressing Jesus Christ. He never did call Him Lord. He called Him Master, but he never would call Him Lord. Why? He wouldn't accept His lordship. He wouldn't accept His reign and rule over Him. Look, there are a lot of people that profess to have a lot of other lords. Jesus Christ is the only Lord, the only one, one faith, he says. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, one Lord, one faith. Now, a lot of times I remember when I was younger, people would come up to me and said, what faith are you? It's not like that. It's not your denominational preference or your Catholicism. Faith is what saves you. The faith that saves you is the one faith that he's talking about, not where you go to church. A lot of people go to church are never going to make it to heaven, and the reason is they haven't put their faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, trusting Him for their salvation plus nothing. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 talks about that. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. It's a word. It's a word of faith. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, it's a confession that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, there's only one of them, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you look to his death, burial, and resurrection for your salvation, put all your faith in that, and then you get saved. That's the faith he's talking about. All right, now he says here, one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Oh, this is a boner. This is a boner. One baptism. Well, if you read the Bible, there's seven baptisms. There's the baptism of aspersion when Moses took the Jews under the cloud, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's John the Baptist's baptism of water, manifesting Jesus Christ to Israel. There is, according to John chapter 1, there is Jesus Christ's baptism of death in Matthew chapter 20, which the disciples also had as martyrs. There is the baptism that the Holy Ghost gave to the Jews that were gathered in the upper room in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. There is the baptism of new converts, like Acts chapter 10, verse 48. After the Holy Ghost came on the Gentiles, they were baptized in water. There's the baptism by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit, not by one pastor, not by one pool of water, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Remember, we've already talked about that one body. Well, if you think your body is your local church, and you got to go through a baptismal pool to get into that church and therefore into Christ, you're going to be fouled up forever if the body is not that. All right, so he says there's a one baptism, and that baptism is the Spirit into the body of Christ. And then you've also got the baptism into hell, according to Matthew chapter 3. When a person dies without Christ, they're baptized into fire, which the charismatics have picked up now and say baptized by the Holy Ghost in fire is some great thing that goes on in their church services. Well, you know the devil's got to be in charge of that thing, because there's no way in the world he's talking about baptized by fire. They weren't baptized by fire in Acts chapter 2. There were the appearance as of cloven tongues of fire. It didn't say literal fire burning off the top of their head, making them all bald in the back of their head with a blistered scalp. He said it was cloven tongues as of fire, looked like fire, light up there. They say that baptism of fire is that? No, the baptism of fire is somebody burning in hell. According to Matthew chapter 3, if you just read it, it's an unquenchable fire. All right, so this baptism, this one baptism, is a baptism that results in a spiritual circumcision. According to Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, there's a circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. That's not a water baptism. Neither is Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 6. There you're baptized with Christ into his death, and baptized with Christ into his burial, and baptized with Christ into his resurrection. A pool of water will never put you with Christ. That's a spiritual thing that backdates you to the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you come up like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And the Holy Spirit does that in Romans chapter 6. It is not a water baptism. So you know there's going to be a lots of discord over that, because there are a lot of people that believe you get into the kingdom of God by a water baptism when you're a baby or when you're confirmed. And so how in the world are you going to have any unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace with that? People say, oh, you're just causing trouble. There's only one baptism. If it's not the Spirit baptism, then it's water baptism. If it's water baptism, then it takes water baptism to put you into Christ. And if that's wrong, there are a lot of people who are trusting their water baptism to get them to heaven, and they're going to find out when they wind up in hell at the other baptism, which is the baptism of fire, that they should have taken the baptism of the Spirit by simply trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior plus nothing and forgetting about all that water baptism. But they won't do it, because they won't part with what they've been taught. They want to go to the Bible to prove they're right rather than go to the Bible to find out what God said. You see the mistake? All right, and then he said there's one God in verse 6, one God and Father of all. One God and Father of all? Well, let me tell you something. If he's Allah, then he's not the God I worship. And if he's the God I worship, then he's not Allah. Now, how are you going to get people to have the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace with that? Make a military coalition with people who believe differently than you do, and then have an argument about one nation under God when you're submitting yourself to authority with other people in a coalition whose God is not your God, and you let them come in your country and worship the God that they want to worship because it's a free country, and then kick the God of all people out of the schools because some people who have a different God are upset about that? That's insanity. So people say, well, there must be a lot of gods. And people say, all the roads, everybody's trying to get to heaven. That's false. That can't be true. There's no way to have the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace with that. Because God said it's not many gods, it's one God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 warns you that there are many gods. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 says, concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Now that's what's going on. And if you go to Allah, Allah doesn't have a son, so there's no way to get to God by the Lord Jesus Christ through him, then you're looking at a billion Muslims who are deceived by the Quran and by the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad and all that religious dictate, who are going to wind up in hell. Because they won't go through the Lord Jesus Christ to get to God the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, well, you're just bigoted. I'm not. I believe the Bible. Don't you? Don't you? He says he's the father of all. That is true because everybody came from him through Adam and Eve. But it's not the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. It's not everybody's born as a child of God. Everybody's born as the offspring of Adam and Eve that will eventually go back to God. But for him to be your personal father and for you to be able to see him in heaven, you've got to trust Christ. He says here he's one God and Father of all who is above all. Well, he is. He's far above all principality and power, including Allah and Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius and the 3 million gods of the Hindus. He says here he's Father of all who is above all and through all. That in the quantum theory, they have located a quark or whatever they call that thing that is some sort of a mysterious energy that keeps everything together. That's God. They can't see it. That's right. They're not going to see it. No man has seen God at any time. Colossians 1:17 says, 1:17 says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things consist. It's held together by that. Hebrews 1:3 says the same thing. And in you all. Well, Christ will be all in all after his resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 27 to 28, and that was to bring glory to God. So, notice then, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, God is very narrow-minded. He says, if you want to have unity in his spirit and the bond of peace in his fellowship, then you got to recognize there's only one body, there's one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, and that's it. Pretty narrow-minded, wouldn't you say? But I'm glad to know that God and glad to believe his book.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Alleluia.